Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 64. My name is John. Never mind the way I'm living. I'm running into empty space. In a time where nothing's giving exit to a better place. What's important to you? It's kind of a common question, isn't it? If you're going to make a major purchase, like a car or a house, you ask yourself, what's important to what I want? If you sit down with a financial planner, that's one of the first things they'll ask. A smoker who's just been diagnosed with cancer, or a morbidly obese person who's just been told he'll need a triple bypass, will likely have to take stock of their lives and ask themselves, what is important? Their vices, or their health. Maybe it's your family, or your finances. Maybe it's your spouse, or your job. Maybe it's something you dreamed about your whole life and you finally achieved your goals. Maybe it's something you never expected, but now that it's in your life, you don't know how you ever lived without it. Maybe you're an open book and everybody knows who or what is important to you. Maybe you have a secret that is so important to you it would shock or amaze people if they knew. Maybe it's something common, or at least common enough that you can network with other people and share your interests. Maybe what's important to you is important to you alone. Maybe it's a possession. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's an idea. People will say their faith is important to them, or their patriotism, or their legacy. Maybe the most important thing is power or control. Maybe the most important thing is being right. Maybe the most important thing is being on the winning side. Maybe the most important thing is fighting for your beliefs. Maybe the most important thing is peace. Maybe it's freedom. One thing I do know for sure. As you go about your life, take a look around you. Take a look at your neighbors. Take a look at the people driving in the cars next to you, or riding in the bus or train around you on your way to work or wherever. Take a look at your coworkers and your customers and your clients. Take a look at the people in the grocery store or the movie theater or the restaurant. None of them. And I mean not a goddamn one of them, shares the same things that are important to you. Sure, there may be some overlap here or there, but whatever you think is most important, you're the only one. Let me give you an example. I just said a moment ago that some people are an open book. I'm usually not. But if you've listened to these podcasts for any length of time, you'll know the most important thing to me is my wife, Gina. She is my best destiny. I'm pretty sure I have no luck left because I used up my lifetime allotment when she fell in love with me and married me. The best days of my life have revolved around her. Chances are, you don't know her. If she were to die in a car accident tomorrow, you wouldn't care. Sure, you may feel empathy or sympathy at the death of another human being, but your life would not be devastated. You would not want to cut yourself off from humanity because the most precious thing in your life was gone. And that's okay. I wouldn't expect you to have the same reaction. Nor should you expect me to have the same reaction to the loss of your most important thing. What's the point of this loquacious rant? We are all in our own little worlds. and whatever we deem important is important, even if no one else understands, accepts, or agrees. My schedule is a little askew at work. I usually don't take my breaks at the same time as anybody else. At least, no one else who likes to go to the break room. So when I go there, I have a routine with the television. ESPN in the morning, American Dad at lunch, and Futurama in the afternoon. This is not to say those are the only things I watch, but given the channels our boss subscribes to, those are likely the best things on at those times. I mean, sure, I may get lucky and Turner Classic Movies or FX has something decent on, but those are few and far between. There are people who make fun of me for my routine, and even some who vocally hate my viewing choices. The funny thing is, I've walked in on some of these same people glued to TMZ, talking in depth about celebrity gossip, who slept with who, and what scandal some actor has been linked to. And they are passionate about it. Fanatical. I find it quite amusing. What's funnier is, some of those people have asked me questions about these celebrities like I know what they're talking about. I care more about where the squirrels are hiding the acorns falling off my oak tree than I do about celebrity gossip. We all have different experiences, different perspectives that guide us in prioritizing things in our lives. Whether it's sublime or mundane, we all view different things as important. And I purposely use some of these more mundane examples like television shows and celebrity gossip because I want to start by briefly touching on what some recently, not me, would call big news. A few months ago, rumors started spreading in celebrity gossip circles about Bruce Jenner. I'm barely cognizant of his Olympic days. They were just before my time I was really aware what was going on. But I do remember a lot of respect from sports commentators talking about him. These days, most people know him as the stepdad on the Kardashian show. To be honest, I don't know if he would have gotten so much attention if he weren't on that show. But it turns out the rumor that Bruce Jenner was transitioning to be a woman was very much true. Soon there was a 2-hour interview of him talking about his life and his decision. Then a few weeks after that, there was the reveal of Caitlyn Jenner. Now, I have friends in the LGBT community. I know men who are transitioning or have transitioned to women. I can't say I really understand it even after it's been explained to me. I would like to understand it, but there are some things I still have trouble wrapping my brain around. However, I do respect them for doing it. Why? Well, let me use Caitlyn as an example. Has Caitlyn Jenner done something to personally disrespect you? She's trying to figure herself out. And because she used to be a famous male Olympic athlete, she's getting a lot of attention. Now, you may think she doesn't deserve the attention. You may think she is only doing it for the attention. You may think this is all some twisted ploy for self-promotion, as I've heard some people hypothesize. But all that is conjecture. And you can't prove your theory. So why not just accept her self-discovery? She is trying to figure herself out. She is trying to be true to herself. Unlike all the liars and the cheaters out there, Caitlyn Jenner is being honest with you about who she is. Less than 1% of the politicians, preachers, CEOs, upper management, and salesmen are honest with you. But a man transitioning into a woman is. That alone deserves some measure of respect. You gladly give your money and your faith and your vote to people who will happily tell you any lie for those things. The least you can do is give a little respect to honesty. But besides all that, you know what the biggest reason is why it matters? You want to know why it matters that an Olympic athlete has struggled with his identity for decades, being afraid of telling even the closest people to him, before finally telling the world that he wants to be a woman, that he wants to look like a woman, and wants to live as a woman? Because it matters to Caitlyn Jenner. She is a human being. And in her little corner of the world, yes, it's still a little corner, even though we've all had a window into it. Her struggle matters, and her decision is important because it is important to her. Is she a distraction from real news? Yeah, probably. But is that her fault, or the fault of the news channels? We have at our disposal the greatest information archive yet known to humanity. At least it will be until net neutrality begins. Hell, the only reason they call for net neutrality is because all the regulations and playing favorites in the various levels of government put on internet providers have caused perceived problems. So the feds could come in on their white horses and pretend to fix them with regulations and playing favorites. Anyway, my point was that you can get information, commentary, and just cold hard data pretty much anytime you want. If you're relying on one or two talking heads to give you the vital information, you're doing it wrong. Caitlyn Jenner is not invading the news. The news is putting her front and center because they know you'll be distracted. Ooh, shiny! And yes, I know more about Caitlyn Jenner than I ever intended to know. I watched part of that two-hour interview because I was hanging out with a friend and her partner wanted to watch it. I personally just want her to be happy. But I don't require knowing the details of Bruce's journey to Caitlyn. But obviously some people do. I told you about my coworkers and their near obsession with celebrity gossip. The press knows they can get ratings if they can get a big story. That's why things like Tiger Woods' infidelity gets plastered all over the place for weeks at a time. Paparazzi get photos that push the limits of privacy for celebrities. I'm of two minds on this. I think people should be afforded privacy, but a person who chooses a profession that requires publicity should expect the public demanding information. Regardless, I can't imagine having to go through that crap. Or can I? How would you feel if, when you're in a situation where you should expect privacy, that you find somebody is watching you from across the street. Maybe you find out they're taking notes of where you are and how long you've been there. Maybe they're taking notes on who is also at that place where you are. You might not even be there to see other people. You may just be minding your own business. But they're still noting who else is there, just in case they need to build a narrative later on about whom you happen to be around. But you're not famous. So how would you feel about someone doing that to you? That'd be creepy, wouldn't it? That would be a violation. That would be stalking. That would be an invasion of your privacy. Now, what if the people following you weren't paparazzi or the press? What if it was the police? Well, now it's more than just creepy. You're an innocent person. Why are they following you? Why are they taking notes about where you are and how long you stay there? Why are they taking notes about who else is at the place at the same time as you? What the hell is this? Nazi Germany? It's certainly not America! Oh, wait. Yes, it is. Because you are being watched. You may not have cops following you around, but you have the electronic equivalent happening to you every moment of every day when the government is collecting your metadata. They are keeping a dossier on you and everyone you love or care about. For that matter, me and everyone I love or care about. It's not as innocent as the government and the supporters of metadata collection try to make it sound, is it? Oh, it's just generic information. It's harmless. Well, if it's so damn harmless, why do you need it? Well, to capture it in case somewhere in the middle of it is a clue to catch a bad guy. So it's more than just generic info if you can use it as evidence to prosecute someone. Yeah, but only if they've done something bad. So when you have evidence that they may be doing something bad, go through due process to get a warrant like the law says. But that takes too long. So you'd rather sacrifice the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution and individual liberty rather than obey it. Now who's the lawbreaker? Oh, come on, we're just trying to catch terrorists. I hate to tell you this, folks, but the physical weapons that were once solely used by the military overseas going after terrorists are now a common part of police arsenals, even in rural communities of the United States. If the physical weapons meant for terrorists are now on American soil for use against American citizens, it won't be long before the metadata is used for more than just terrorism, but to catch us doing things the government doesn't like. We are all lawbreakers. We are all lawbreakers because government, from the federal to the state to the municipal levels, has made so many laws and made them so convoluted there is no way anyone has managed to avoid breaking one. Collectivism thrives on control. And as we careen our way further into this collectivism, call it what you will, fascism, socialism, communism, progressivism, we are only becoming more entangled in their web of red tape. As of right now, there is not a single person who has declared a run for the presidency that I would vote for. But if you had me pick the best out of the sorry crop out there right now, it would have to be Rand Paul. I'm glad he spoke out and at least got us a temporary stay of the metadata collection, even though we all know government will find another way. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if some clandestine groups inside the government are still collecting the data illegally. Ah, but the Supreme Court said it's okay. So? The Supreme Court is wrong. You have the right to be secure in your papers and effects. In other words, your documentation. Your information has the right to be secure by you, and only you have the right to dole it out to others as you see fit. You want to give your information voluntarily to Facebook and Google? Go for it. You can if you want to. But for the government to unreasonably seize it without your consent is immoral. And despite what the Supreme Court says, it is against your natural rights. There's old financial advice that says when you have several outstanding debts, you start by aggressively paying off the smallest ones. Once you have those out of the way, you take those freed up resources from the smaller debts and progress to the next larger ones until one or two at a time they are all eliminated. You keep adding those monies you had applied to the smaller debts to tackle the bigger ones until you have nothing but the biggest debt left, and you keep attacking that one until it's gone. I bring that up because all my life, I've heard people tell me, don't sweat the small stuff. Well, my reply to that is, the devil's in the details. Little things matter. You can tell me about the gross wholesale degradation of our rights, and you'd be correct. But to say that gay marriage or the rights of the transgendered are insignificant belittles the truth. The truth is, it's all connected. If we can declare liberty, freedom, and natural rights for these supposed little things, then we can focus on the next and build a crescendo of freedom for everyone. That's why the little things matter. Some supposed little thing may not matter much to you, but it matters to someone. What you deem insignificant is to someone else his or her world. That's why every once in a while I get irritated. I have a problem, or I hear a friend having a problem, and immediately somebody jumps in with the all-too-commonplace response, well, it could be worse, or think about how good you have it, or my favorite, there are people out there in this world going through a lot worse. Why, when you have a problem, is there a need from others to put it in perspective? It used to come from a place of just trying to help people see the proverbial forest for the trees. But it's evolved to become a disdain and a belittling of your problems, because How dare you feel bad for yourself when something worse is happening anywhere else in the known universe? We've gone from trying to help people see their problems can be overcome to chastising people for stating they have what they deem to be a problem. Why are we so focused on Caitlyn Jenner when soldiers are dying for our freedom? Why won't you let us take everyone's metadata? Do you want the terrorists to win? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the fear-mongering. I'm tired of being told my little personal liberties don't matter. I'm tired of the arrogant telling people of the same sex they can't marry. I'm tired of the aggressive telling people they can't practice their religion in their privately owned business. I'm tired of our right to protect ourselves against any adversary as we see fit, constantly under attack. I'm tired of people being silenced or persecuted or shamed for expressing an opinion. The system for total control seems to be winning because groups, tribes, are so busy bickering like petulant children over obvious natural rights that they willingly surrender their rights to whatever power claims to be on their side. And what do the powers that be do while we are distracted with our bickering? There is enough evidence to convince some that the United States was coerced into World War I by the Wilson administration. There is enough evidence to make some believe the Roosevelt administration purposely maneuvered Pacific defenses to make Pearl Harbor an easy target, thus catapulting the United States into World War II. Each time, a chunk of liberties was taken from the American people. And World War II was the last time we actually declared war. Since then, it's been one paranoid deployment after another going after the next boogeyman, and each time, somehow, a little bit more of our rights get eroded. Fear of communist intrusion on our allies lasted as long as it could with Korea and Vietnam. While that was going on, the United States and England was secretly overthrowing the Iranian government, and a generation later, we had a hostage crisis and a group of Islamist extremists who hate us. So we killed them, and the next generation came back stronger. So we killed them, and the next generation came back stronger. So we killed them, and you get the idea. Planes were flown into buildings. Then we really tried to kill them, and now I've lost count as to how many Arab countries George Bush and Barack Obama have sent the military to. All without the constitutionally required declaration of war, which makes it all illegal. And every time we get a little bit more afraid, and the next big scary boogeyman comes up, some more of our rights get taken away. Oh, and the hatred of America and the number of terrorists just continues to grow. Go on. Surrender your natural rights, because if you don't, the terrorists will invade our country and kill your family. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Don't insist that the government obey its own laws. Don't expect your rights to be respected. Why should your rights be respected? when you don't respect the rights of others. You don't mind other people losing their rights to the majority, so you better give up yours too. Otherwise, the bad guys will win. Little things mean a lot. Little liberties lost, a little at a time, while the paranoia propaganda rolls on. So long as the citizens of the United States allow their government to take away their personal liberties out of fear, we are neither the land of the free nor the home of the brave. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.